How are you? Are you having a good day so far? Are you thankful for the sunshine? You think spring has finally arrived? I think next week it's supposed to move up into the 20s. So get your short sleeve shirts out and let's have summer. Well, this morning we're starting a new series on the Holy Spirit, and so there's two friends that I have that I'd like to introduce you to this morning. And first of all, I'd like to introduce you to my friend, Zach Bidle. Let's give it up for Zach, a.k.a. Captain America. Welcome, Zach. Thank you for coming and joining me here this morning. And together, we're going to share with you the introduction of another new friend.
Another new friend?
Is your mic on there?
I think
so. Okay, did you hear him?
Yes.
Yes, another new friend.
Who's this friend?
The Holy Spirit. We don't see him. He's invisible, but he is here with us today. But we can't see him, but he's here.
Do you mean like Drax?
Drax? Who in the world is Drax?
He's a Marvel superhero. He's in the Guardians of the Galaxy. He's pretty cool.
Oh, so, kind of sorry I brought that up, but no, we're not talking about Drax. We're talking about the Holy Spirit.
Did you say Holy Spirit?
No, it's not Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit.
Holy, that's a weird first name.
Well, actually, it's not really his name at all, it's really his title. The Holy Spirit has several titles, such as the Spirit of God in Ephesians chapter 4, the Spirit of Christ, and doesn't that make sense, since it was through the Holy Spirit that Jesus was conceived and born, that the Holy Spirit anointed his ministry, the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead, so he's sometimes referred to as the Spirit of Christ. He has other titles too, Spirit of Truth, Spirit of Grace, Spirit of Promise. I really like that one.
Maybe I should be writing this down. Can I take notes? Do you mind if I take notes?
That would be fine. He's a spirit of wisdom, and probably one of his best-known titles is the Comforter. Many people are familiar with the Greek word paraclete, which means the one who comes alongside of us and helps us in a certain situation. The Holy Spirit is our Comforter. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. He is called the Holy Spirit because he is holy.
Kind of makes sense, but why is he holy?
Well, because he is holy. You want to know what that means?
I do, yes.
That means that he is pure, untainted, uncontaminated. He is whole in every way. It also means that he has been set aside for God. Anything that is holy is devoted totally and purely to the service and the honor of God. It also means that he's not unholy. You see, there are some unholy spirits as well.
Do you mean like demons?
Yes, and John, 1 John chapter 4 says, we should test the spirits because not every spirit is from God. There are unholy spirits. They are the agents of the devil. They are bad, they are evil, but they are not the Holy Spirit. But they're not exactly the opposite of the Holy Spirit either, not directly.
Why is that?
Well, that's because God created both the good and the bad angels. Demons are created beings. The Holy Spirit was not created by God. The Holy Spirit is God.
Well, how do we know that?
Well, we know that because the Bible says so. Let me just give you an example. In Acts chapter 5, the Bible says that Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property and they pretended, I know it's hard to believe that there would be hypocrites in the church, but they pretended that they had given the whole amount to the disciples, but it was a lie. And then Peter says to them, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? But in the very next verse in Acts chapter 5, he says, you have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. Therefore, he equates the Holy Spirit with God. The Apostle Paul also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, don't you know that you are God's temple? And then three chapters later, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, we are God's temple. So what is it? Are we the Holy Spirit's temple or are we God's temple? Who dwells within us? Well, it's the Holy Spirit, but he is God.
So is that the only reason we believe that the Holy Spirit is God?
No, actually, there's quite a few other reasons as well. One is because he has divine characteristics. He has the traits of God. We call it divine attributes.
Divine attributes. Wow, that sounds impressive.
Well, it is quite impressive because he's God. He is eternal. He has lived forever. In Hebrews chapter 9, he is called the Eternal Spirit. Not only that, but he is everywhere and he knows everything. He also does the works of God. He created, he gives life, both physical and especially spiritual life. He is the giver of our new birth. He inspired the Bible, and he helps us to understand what the Bible means. These are the works of God that the Holy Spirit does in us. But the one that I think I really like is, it is his job, it's his work to transform us, to change us little by little into the image of Jesus.
How does he do that? Do you mean like he makes us Jesus?
Oh, no. No, we will never be Jesus. There was only one Jesus. He was unique. He was the only begotten Son of God. But he makes us like Jesus. Little by little, he takes away our old traits and replaces them with traits that represent the Lord Jesus. So he makes us more and more Christ-like. We are born by the Spirit and we are sanctified also by the Holy Spirit.
Sanctified? That's another big word. What does it mean?
Well, it means that the Holy Spirit can help us to overcome the sins and the evils, the shortcomings of our life. He empowers us. He gives us the ability to live a victorious Christian life, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to purify us just like Jesus is pure. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, if we walk in the Spirit, or if we live by the Spirit, then we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh, or we will not follow the lower passions of our life. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to make us like Jesus, and in that regard, to make us more holy.
So I guess if the Holy Spirit is God, then the Holy Spirit would have to be holy, because God is holy.
That's right. He is God, and he is holy.
Does that mean he's part of the Trinity?
It does. That's another big word, Trinity. By the Trinity, Zach, we mean that there's only one God, but he exists in three persons, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There are three persons, but there's only one God. We sometimes say he is the triune God, three persons, but one.
I don't think I understand that.
Well, I don't know that I fully understand it either. Because we are limited in our ability to comprehend God. He is bigger. He is higher. He is above us. And we are limited in our understanding, and we are limited by time and space. Sometimes we've tried to explain it by saying it's like H2O can be water in liquid form, or ice in solidified form, or steam in its gas form, but that's still not really complete. Sometimes we've said, well, it's like past, present, and future, three dimensions of time. But even those analogies are a little bit incomplete. So it's kind of beyond our full comprehension. But one thing that we can know is that the Holy Spirit is God's representative on the earth today. He's God's agent in this world.
You mean like a secret agent?
No, he's not quite like that, although I suppose to a lot of people it is a secret. Even to some Christians, I don't think they're fully aware of the fact that the Holy Spirit is present with them.
So the Holy Spirit is still working in the world today. What has he done?
Well, he is, because he ever lives. He is alive. He is working in the world today. One of the things that he does is that he holds back evil.
I feel like he's not doing a great job.
Well, it's true. Sometimes it seems like evil is gaining the upper hand. But I can assure you, Zach, that if the Holy Spirit wasn't present in the world today, it would be even much worse than it is. In fact, during the time of the Great Tribulation, many people believe that that's one of the reasons why the world will face tremendous difficulty, is because the Holy Spirit won't be the restraining force. He won't be holding back evil. Another way that the Holy Spirit does hold back evil is he convicts us of our sin. And Jesus said in John chapter 16, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment.
But I thought you said he was our friend, and I don't really like conviction.
Well, we may not enjoy it. It may not be our favorite thing, but actually, it is a good thing. It is good for us. We should be thankful that the Holy Spirit brings conviction.
It is, but it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, let me just say that conviction is different than condemnation. Condemnation is like a dark cloud that the enemy sometimes sends over our lives that tells us that God doesn't care about us, God doesn't love us, God doesn't want us. But that is not the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the enemy. The Holy Spirit brings conviction, and conviction is like a sharp knife that cuts into some area of our life and reveals that there's something that needs to be changed, something that needs to be corrected. It's like a laser beam that he puts on some area of our life that needs work from the Holy Spirit to help us. So he brings conviction for our own good so that we will change for the better.
Okay. Now, you keep saying he when you're talking about the Holy Spirit. So does that mean the Holy Spirit is a man?
No, he's not a man. He's a spirit, and as such, he's neither male nor female, but he is spirit.
Do you mean like a ghost? That's kind of scary.
Well, some of the older translations of the Bible do use the word ghost, but because sometimes that has a little bit of a negative connotation, most newer translations use spirit, which actually is a true and accurate translation of the Holy Spirit. He's not scary. Well, I suppose he could be a little bit if we disobey him.
Wait, we can disobey him? Like, do some people disobey him?
Actually, I'm sorry to report that yes, some people do disobey him. Because God has given us free will, we have that ability to choose whether we will obey him or not. Some people resist him. The Bible talks about resisting the Holy Spirit, which means holding him out at arm's length, not allowing him access to our lives. It means closing certain areas, certain rooms of our life from the work of the Holy Spirit. Some people do resist him. And the Bible also says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, do not quench the Holy Spirit. As believers, sometimes we also can quench the Holy Spirit, which means we limit his work in our lives. We limit his moving through us to bless others.
Quench. What do you mean by when you say quench?
Well, I think maybe a good way to illustrate quench is now a lot of people will be starting gardening. And when you use the garden hose, if you don't want to go back and turn the tap off, sometimes you'll just kink the hose and hold it tight so it stops the flow of water through the hose. That's what it means to quench. We Stop the flow of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us.
Okay. Now, you said that the Holy Spirit is not a man, but you keep saying he. You keep calling him a him.
Well, we've taken the hymn books out now.
We never did have her books, did we?
No, actually, sorry that I got us off track there. Let me get back to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. And we call him because he is a person.
But I thought you said that he isn't a person.
Well, he's not a person like us. He's not limited like we are. But he does have a personality. He has personal traits.
What do you mean by personal traits?
Well, it means that he portrays the characteristics of personality. For example, he thinks. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that he thinks the thoughts of God. Inanimate objects don't think. Like a fence post doesn't think.
I think I know some people like that.
Well, I guess that's possible, but the Holy Spirit is not a force like the wind, even though the Bible uses the wind as an analogy, but he's not just like the wind, because the wind does not have volition. It doesn't have the ability to make decisions. The wind is just a force.
May the force be with you.
You had to say that, didn't you?
I couldn't help it.
Anyway, the Holy Spirit is personality because he thinks, he makes decisions, and he has emotions. He can be lied to, like we referred to in Acts chapter 5. He can be insulted, it says in Hebrews chapter 10. He can be grieved. We talk about that a little bit in Ephesians chapter 4. We can actually hurt the feelings of the Holy Spirit. And inanimate objects don't have feelings, don't have emotions that way, but the Holy Spirit does. He is a person in that he has a personality. And he does the work of a person too. He creates, he teaches, he guides us, he comforts us, he witnesses. The Holy Spirit says he witnesses, he is a witness to us. He is a person.
So does it really make a difference if he is a person or not?
Actually, it does make a difference, because we can relate to him on a personal level. We can talk to him. He can talk to us. We can walk together. He can guide us. He can help us, comfort us, and give us assurance. There's an old hymn, it's called In the Garden, that says, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he reminds me that I am his own. Because he is a person, we can have a relationship with him.
Does he always walk with us?
Well, he would if we allowed him, if we let him, if we invited him to. He would like to walk with us all the time. I think maybe the real question is, do we walk with him?
And how do we do that?
Well, Zach, I think the first thing we have to do is seek him with all of our heart. Seek the blessing and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then we have to obey him. We have to follow his guidance and submit our will to him. We have to allow him to lead us in our lives. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or the children of God. We can let him lead him, and we should let him teach us. We should let him tell us more about Jesus, because he delights to do that. Sometimes people say, well, how come the Bible doesn't say more about the Holy Spirit? Well, that's because he's the author of the Bible, and he doesn't talk a lot about himself. He loves to talk about Jesus, and he can make us more like Christ if we will allow him to control us. The Bible says that if we will let him, he can produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it identifies what some of those fruits are. It says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I think those are traits that we would all like to have. And I've heard some people say, I need more love. I need more joy. I need more patience. And what we probably really need is more of the Holy Spirit, because He is the one who can develop those traits within us. And then we should let Him empower us. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, we will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon us. He will fill us with the power and the presence of God if we will allow Him to do so. So here's the question: do we let the Holy Spirit control our life? Do we allow Him to lead us? Are we being filled with the Holy Spirit as the Bible exhorts us?
Okay, so let me summarize. So the Holy Spirit, He's invisible, but He's not Drax. He's holy, not Holly. Make that point. And He is God, and He is a person. And He wants to be our helper and our teacher and our guide. Right?
Right. That's right. And He will be all of those things to us if we will simply yield to Him and allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives, to set aside our own wishes, sometimes even our own will, in submission to the direction of God, that He will work in us through the power of His Holy Spirit. He wants to make Jesus real to us. He delights to exalt Christ. And He wants to make us more like Jesus. He wants to make Christ the Savior, or the forgiver of our sins, and the leader of our lives, and the master of everything that we say and do. Zach, the Holy Spirit was given by God so that we could live for God. He can change us from the inside out. He can make us what God wants us to be. We all, as followers of Jesus, need to live daily in the power and the correction and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And He can enable us to live a life that will glorify God and overcome evil in our lives and even be an influence for good in the world. We need the Holy Spirit. Could I pray with you and maybe with these friends for the Holy Spirit to make Himself real to us? Thank you, Zach, for being with us today. Let's thank Zach for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
This is the first time Pastor Zach has... Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's been our goal, our desire this morning to introduce the person, the personality of the Holy Spirit. God, we thank You for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your willingness to work in our lives. Help us to be willing to allow You to have Your way in each one of us. Lord, we want to live under the direction of Your Holy Spirit. We want to live empowered by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we recognize this morning we cannot accomplish all that You desire in us or through us without the help of this agent of God. So, Holy Spirit, come and make Your presence real in our lives, not just on Sunday morning, but every day of the week. And help us, O Father, to be faithful to follow You in every way, every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.